We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Adif is a sick puppy.
That is true. That is the most accurate thing Donald J. Trump has said in his... Is the president 73?
I think so.
70. Yeah. But he has the greatest chest a doctor has ever seen. Let me see that chest. That's what we did here. Hartman, Carter, Cook, all here until 3? 1? 12:15? Paul and Jordan might take the day off. I could do probably 3 hours on Gopher football.
Yeah, 73. You're right.
73 years old. So he fits right in the demo of our candidates right now with Bernie and Liz and Bloomberg. Mayor Pete could be their grandkid. That's about where we're at right now. What do we have for today? We're talking Gopher football at the start. We have a big knocker Republican on the show today, Senator Tom Cotton from the state of Arkansas. He is endorsing a gentleman by the name of Jason Church. Jason Church, his recovery from what happened to him serving our country is a remarkable story, whether you agree with him or not politically, but it's an amazing story. Church is running for the in the primary and potentially the special election to replace Sean Duffy. So we taped a conversation with Senator Cotton about 30 minutes ago. We'll play that today. We're also still closer to about 7 people we're still trying to get, and we were trying to get them on Friday. I understood Friday because it's a holiday. Or basically it's a holiday. We're still trying to get more people on the record on why in the hell there weren't more sprinklers in the building where 5 people died. We'll continue to cover this unspeakable story out of Minneapolis. We'll get into it on the show, and Adam will cover it as he did during news updates. Chip Scoggins is going to join us at 2:35. But let's talk Gopher football right at the start. And let's lay these cards on the table, as I said in the tease. No doubt, this season was a significant step forward for Philip John Flex program. Let's not forget where they were last year when they played Illinois and when Illinois looked like the greatest show on turf. The Fighting Illini looked like they were the greatest football team ever. Fired Rob Smith. Brought in Joe Rossi and finished the season very impressively last year, which included a decisive win in Madison. This year, and let's just be honest about it, this isn't being negative, it's called accuracy. Until they played Penn State, they had one of the softest schedule of any Power 5 school in America. It's facts. Look at strengths of schedule. Look at what happened. Now, they won the games. They escaped in some of the non-conference games. They destroyed teams who had destroyed them the year before, who were having bad seasons. They didn't just edge them. They crushed them. And then they beat a very good Penn State team, a very good Penn State team, a team that went to Columbus and played them very tough. So now you are sitting there with Iowa, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. And if you win 2 of those 3 games, considering the way Michigan lost to Ohio State and the fact that you have the victory over Penn State, there would have been a 98% chance you go to the Rose Bowl. They beat a terrible Northwestern team. But it was workmanlike. It was what they were supposed to do. Against Iowa and Wisconsin, the coach was outclassed. And I'm the one who said after the Penn State game, so let's be clear about this, that in the Big Ten, they've played like a very well-coached team. Not just that Penn State game, but in the other games. Efficient, decisive, aggressive, weren't beating themselves, weren't undressed on plays. But in Iowa, they were toyed with in the first half. It was 20-6, and it seemed like it could have been 28-0. And then they made adjustments, got back in the game. But in the end, how many times would they get, you know, inside the 20 and not score? And Ferentz was the better coach. Fleck made a fool of himself running on the field. That did not decide the game. It was foolish what he did. And then on Saturday, let's not forget, they started out 7-0. And it was perfect. And then Paul Christ put PJ on his knee and said, let me teach you some things. And for a lot of us, and I can tell you, two big, big knockers in the Gopher football thumb, who everybody here knows their name, but I'm just going to bite my tongue on it right now, kept saying to me, even though publicly they would say only the greatest things about Fleck, they were saying the same thing I'm saying right now. You still have major questions on what's going on in games. I mean, it's not a tradition. I mean, Adam's favorite tradition is watching the Masters on CBS. My favorite tradition is three unexplainable, inexplicable timeouts from PJ Fleck. The fourth and two that we're all talking about, and close circuit to some of my media friends, they blew it on the fourth and two, up seven. Should have went for it. Now, they just did get stopped by on the Wildcat the play before. Play I hate, but it works, okay? But I'm hearing now if they go for it, there's not a chance in hell they lose that game. Stop.
Bit of a leap. Second possession of the game.
Exactly. Bit of a leap. By the way, you got to make it. Then you're still at, let's say they get the 2 yards. You're at the 33. Yeah. You still got to go, I think, let me count here, 33 yards and score. And it's 14-0 at that point with about, let's say, 50 minutes left in the game. It's a very impressive start. But I don't think the Badgers would be over there in the fetal position saying, call off your dogs.
We give. No, but the momentum would have been was different based off of that.
I mean, for sure.
I don't doubt that at all. And you have a hyper-accurate quarterback, two of the best receivers in the league. You know, there's no, because it's fourth and two doesn't mean you got to run the ball again. Just because you ran it on third down, you've been hitting slants. They ended up hitting slants all day long on that Badger defense. You tell me you couldn't run one of those there and pick up that first down?
It made no sense. And then, of course, Chris ends up on the next two drives. What does he do? He goes for it. What happens on a couple third and tens? The Gophers run. What happens when they finally put pressure on Cone? They have the screen call. Mm-hmm. It was Paul Christ superior to Fleck. So just, ladies and gentlemen, because I know we've established this many times, Adam, the group in town, the sports fans in town, the most sensitive, the most insecure Gopher football fans. And if you have the audacity to point out the truth, you're evil, you're awful, you don't pay attention.
Negative, just too negative.
You're negative. You don't like
part
the
of the old problem.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
Exactly. When you win 10 games and you're Minnesota and you are where this program was in October last year, when it looked like it was the defense last year for about five games was looked like the three of us were back there. And you finish the way they did, and then you win 10 games. That is a huge step forward. But you had the Rose Bowl right there in your hands. You had the slightest, you had more than the slightest chance.
Yeah.
You were going to play the monster, Ohio State. They look like a pro team, by the way, right now. Who cares if you could beat by 100? You were going to Indianapolis. So I got plenty more details. I want to hear more from Dan and Adam. But Gopher apologists and diehards, can you just accept that, yes, 10 wins is unexpected here? It's happened before. I'm going to give you 2 years that I think were very, very close to this season, by the way. And they weren't with Bernie Bierman. They weren't with Murray Warmath. They were within the last 20 years. But are you willing to say significant step forward, but a massive missed opportunity? I want to hear feedback all throughout the show. We're not going to talk over football the whole show. I can assure you that. But it's still, sports-wise, the biggest story in town until 7:20 tonight when the Purple play in Washington against your Seattle Supersonics, as I like to call them. 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Text or call. Do that right now. All right, we'll get to calls here in a moment. Bob, you're mobile. We'll get to you first. We got a couple lines available. 651-989-9226 for a phone call or a text. Carter, give me your biggest takeaway either from the game or the totality of the year.
1-3 in the final three, and you lose to your two biggest rivals. And for a lot of major college programs, that is a fireable offense.
Are you calling for the firing of Philip John Fleck?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Hot take. Somebody's got to do it.
Oh, my God.
He's get him out of here.
Yeah.
We missed the boat on Greg Schiano. We could have hired him. impressive season. But, and you know, everybody, I see everybody sharing his post-game speech with the fro. You know, this is, you know, we're not going back. We're not, well, you know what? You kind of coached like the very fear that you're talking about that Minnesota fans for decades have been seeing.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, your two biggest rivals, you laid an egg to both of them. And you went 1-3 in your final three games.
I mean, they were crushed by the Badgers, Dan. I mean, the folks who can blame officials, no matter what, why do you watch sports then? I mean, how is it enjoyable?
You know what? Let's not forget Penn State, where they were on the benefiting end of a very
enormous
bad call.
Yeah, we can't remember that part.
Though. Enormous call at the end of the game. By the way, that's the same weekend where the Vikings got an amazing break at the end. It's interesting when the videos are out there, when people are showing the videos, when it's a Viking or Gopher getting that break. And by the way, on the pass interference call, it was pass interference.
Yeah.
By the way, on the hand-to-hand combat that happens all the time with wide receiver corner, that type of play happens about 60 times a game. So don't act like that was so isolated. And by the way, if they score there, they still get their hats handed to them.
Right. And, you know, there's plays on both sides. There's holding all the time that doesn't get called. Look, you cannot blame a loss that lopsided on the officials. You just can't do it. The other thing that I kept hearing was, well, you know, the weather affected the best part of the Gopher offense. And I'm thinking, all Wisconsin did on Saturday was throw the ball.
Exactly.
They barely ran it at all. So it's possible to throw the ball in the snow. Newsflash, you can do it. It can be done. Except when the defensive line and the linebackers are in your face every other second because your offensive line didn't play very well. I'm sorry. They just didn't. Adam's dead on.
That wasn't close.
You know, 10-2 is good. I mean, it's a good season. There's nothing. Can't take that away at all. 10-2 is good. Period. And you lost to your two biggest. Your two losses were your two biggest rivals. That's got to play a role in the story of 2019 Gopher football season. It just has to.
Especially when you had it in your hands. I mean, 3 weeks ago, there are articles in the paper describing the minuscule ways we could miss out on making it to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
and it happened.
And Let's just remind everybody about Iowa. The first half, they got toyed with in Iowa City. Toyed with. And how many dumb plays happen in the game against the Hawkeyes, even if you don't count the dumbest of the coach running on the field? And then I literally can give you 8 examples on Saturday where Crist outmaneuvered Fleck. When Chip's on, Chip's going to be with us in 2 hours. I'm going to read back part of his column, Tim, because it was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was the Badgers were 2 steps ahead. And as an example, Tanner Morgan, excellent year. Excellent year.
Without question.
Jack Cohen was a better quarterback Saturday.
Also,
and you
question.
Nailed some of it. Tanner Morgan had 2 guys in his face frequently. The Gophers and pressure against Jack Cohen rarely happened. And, of course, the time they brought the whole world –
we had the screen call.
They flip out the screen.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I was hearing a lot of yesterday and even into today, and I don't disagree that the program's in better shape, obviously, like you said, than where it was last October. But I hear a whole lot of people, oh, we're in much better shape. PJ's a great coach.
And by the way, let's just also say, last October it was embarrassing.
Right. that this the program's on this line that's consistently up and to the right, and I'm wondering where that's coming from. Because while 10-2 is a really good season, you did lose to your two biggest rivals. And can I see the guy do it more than once before we anoint him as the next coming of Nick Saban? I mean, look.
I don't know. I don't know who I got right now, Carter. Who you got right now? Saban in his prime or Fleck? And by the way, I'm joking about that. I am the guy who stood here and said, give him the money.
Yeah.
I don't regret that at all. But I continue to hear from so many of supposedly objective people where no doubt we're better than we've ever been. Let me just give you a couple examples here. The 1999 team. Let me do my math here. That's 20 years ago. That's Glenn Mason in his third season. They go 8-4. That includes a team with four all Big Ten first team guys. That includes the year they went to Penn State and won against the number two team in the country. So that's better than the win here. That year, they also beat Iowa, and they lost to Ohio State. They lost to Wisconsin in overtime, and they lost to Ohio State by three. No comparison to the schedule in 99 of this year. The Gophers, outside of Penn State this year, they beat no one. They crushed people. Who they were supposed to crush in the regular season, they did. But outside of Penn State, they beat no one. Jerry Kill, 2014, 5 years ago. And so many of my friends in the media act like this never happened. It happened five bleeping years ago. They won at Michigan that year, 30-14. They beat Iowa that year, 51-14. They won at Nebraska, 28-24. And they lost at Ohio State, 31-24. Is that year better? Because I think this year is slightly better, but I'm not even convinced of it when I go over game by game.
Shocking to me that.
And by the way, in that, as Dan knows, in that 2014 year at Camp Randall, halftime, up 17-3. So are we convinced this was better? It's just like, because the guys are wowed by PJ's personality, again, right. I've come to grips with it. It's not for me, a cynical 54-year-old. And oh, by the way, a dirty little secret on his recruiting. His recruiting in 2018, 38th. That's better than most Minnesota schools, but that's not like top 15 like you hear some of the apologists say. 2019, 45th. Like we're supposed to get aroused over 45th? And like they're a little higher right now because he signed so many guys early. So yeah, give him the extension. I like what he's doing. 5 years ago, I can make an absolute argument that a better year. So don't act like this hasn't been done.
And yeah, and to my point, you know, you're 100% right. Let's see him do it again. That's all. Could he be, in 5 years from now, could the Gopher program be, you know, have multiple Big Ten West championships and be on a different level than they are right now, where we're like, okay, this is a legitimate program that's going to be competitive year in, year out? Yeah, that absolutely is possible. I just want to see a couple of more reps before we anoint this guy.
Yep.
That's all.
Bob, hang on, because we're going to stay with Gophers a little bit longer, because sports-wise, after today, we're moving on from the Gophers, and we're not doing this just because we're moving on. We're doing it because everywhere you go right now, people are still talking Gopher football, from the diehard folks to the casual folks. So, Bob, stay with me. I'm getting a bunch of texts. Want those texts. Want feedback on Twitter. Also, I would massively appreciate it if you would follow us on Twitter. Go ahead and disagree all you want. Like what we're doing. Hate what we're doing. Follow us at Chad Hartman Show. All right, Bob has been very patient. Bob, thank you so much for listening. Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Thanks. Yeah, I was listening to you guys, and you made a lot of great points, and a lot of the points that I would make is, frankly, they never played anyone. They beat one team with a winning record, as you guys have said, Penn State. And that, I would go a little further. That was a pretty mysterious offensive pass interference call.
It was a bad call.
That looked pretty, it looked pretty benign to me.
Yep.
So the point is that they had the most unbelievable favorable schedule ever. They didn't play Michigan. They didn't play Michigan State. They didn't play Ohio State. Frankly, they didn't play Indiana, who might have given them a really tough game. So they really benefited from their schedule. Give them credit. They won the games. They won the games that they needed to get the big record. But as Carter said, you know, they lost the games that meant something. And the one game they did win, they got fortunate. I see Penn State this weekend beat Rutgers 27-3. Late in the game, it was 20-3.
Yeah, but they were right in the game with Ohio State too, right? The Penn State play, they benefited late. I still think on that day the Gophers were the better team, but that's a 5-point win at home. That was not a decisive win. It was a win that should be celebrated, but then you augment it, you build on it, and you have to beat one of your two rivals to get to the Rose Bowl, to get to the Big Ten championship game, and you kicked it away.
So the other thing I would say, Chad, is that I think Wisconsin will give Ohio State a decent game, but Ohio State's could really beat them up bad. And certainly if the Gophers had gotten in that game, it would have been embarrassing.
Thank you, sir. I don't think the Gophers should have feared that, though, in any way. I don't see a scenario where Wisconsin keeps that close. Let's get to one angle that we just were talking about off air, though, too. This was rather amusing to me. I forget which Wisconsin player.
I think it was Chris Orr, but it was one of the linebackers.
Yeah, it was one of the linebackers, where he's talking about afterwards that, Adam, part of their motivation was that when the Gophers won last year, that PJ turned it into kind of a state event. And sure, it's Fleck promoting, because that's what he does. And by the way, on this one, I had 0.0 problem, where if you went to a golf tournament, when various U of M events, the axe was there. Fine. So what? It's an axe. It's not like Barry Alvarez's grandmother that they've kidnapped and making her
Lennon's corpse we're taking around.
Bringing her around and they're forcing her to sing the Rouser.
That would be impressive.
That would be impressive, because I got to believe she might be a little bit older now. It's the trophy. You've destroyed them 14 years in a row. They get to revel in it a little bit. And the kid afterwards is like, when we were rolling the boat at midfield, which, by the way, I found humorous, because, again, I don't care who wins. I want the story.
Yeah.
When they showed it, I thought, you know, that's a part of the deal.
Part of the bit.
I don't.
You don't like it? Beat them.
Exactly. Yep. That's it. I've changed. You know, this whole act like you've been there before. Have fun with it. It's a stupid game. A game that I watch. A game that I enjoy. A game that sports I enjoy a ton. But have fun with it. If you're just going to be boring, blah.
It was Chris Orr, by the way.
Okay.
The young man, the senior linebacker for Wisconsin, that made those comments. Look, the comments were absurd. But we all know that the kind of stuff that gets talked about in locker rooms often ventures into the absurd when they're trying to fire up college-age kids. So the fact that this was part of the buildup, I'm sure Adam was mentioning it off air, and I think he's 100% right, that this is exactly the kind of thing that coaches harp on and try to get kids to feel disrespected, to get them to play above the level that they think they can play at. And if you don't think that video of the Badgers, you know, rowing the boat at midfield with the axe isn't going to get fired up in the Gopher locker room for the next 10 months, you mean
you're crazy. Or at least trying to, because which game was it where – and Fleck used it, where some kid said, if we would have been trying hard or something. It was something earlier. It was the Purdue game. That's right. Some kid from Purdue made some sort of comment. I forget it was. And again, it's like a 19-year-old kid made a comment. And by all accounts, PJ used it repeatedly during the week. Right?
And I mean, so the number of people that got upset about what this Badger linebacker said to me was just completely ridiculous off the charts. Look, again, it's dumb that you have to get stuff like that to get fired up for a football game, but that happens all the time, and the kid just is woofing about it after the game. this is just kind of the bluff and bluster that goes with college sports or with sports at any level. You just let it roll off your back. To be a Minnesota fan and get upset thinking you're getting disrespected by the Wisconsin fan base over this is just annoying.
Among the texts coming in, very poor play calls on offense, really just run up the middle and punt. Should have changed their game plan at halftime. Yeah, Adam, the multiple third and tens, including the one after the timeout. I mean, it is a part of his MO. He actually coaches more conservative than I think. I think people get too caught up in his personality.
Right.
He runs the ball a lot. He is not an adventurous head coach. That's why he's calling those timeouts so much. He is a very reserved coach. The guy who's comparing him to Wacker, give me a break. Jim Wacker, sweetheart of a human being. I mean, I was destroying the guy on a regular basis, and every time he saw me, because I used to go to the press conference, how are you doing? And I just, good, Jim, how about you? It wasn't personal.
Yeah.
He didn't take it personal, because, again, he's a great guy. I was just doing my job. Then this brain wizard. I love how you cherry-pick talking about halves of football games. Terrible first half against Iowa. Didn't mention the adjustments made to win the game. They were better in the second half.
Actually, you did mention.
Football games. Terrible first half against Iowa. Didn't mention the adjustments made to win the game. They were better in the second half.
Actually, you did mention the adjustments.
Exactly.
You mentioned exactly that.
Then brag about Kill being up 17-3 and conveniently don't mention the collapse. Yeah, they got their butts kicked.
Yeah, no, you did mention that.
And
too.
I did mention that too.
Listening's a good thing.
Then another one, the same guy, by the way. Wow, yeah, let's fire the guy. This guy really is a brain surgeon because, yeah, Adam really meant when he said fire the guy. Should have beat Iowa.
I'm going to get it trending this afternoon.
Exactly.
Can I go back to your point quickly, though, on Fleck?
Just one real one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me just finish this. If Johnson makes a fourth down catch, they probably win that game.
Okay.
We don't know that. Yeah. Where's Suchi boy? We don't know that.
If a meteor hits the stadium, then does the game count at all? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. But being about Fleck and his play calling, Paul Chryst, not exactly known as lots of trickeration and an innovative, you know, he just is kind of a meat and potatoes play calling.
His play calling does reflect that blasé personality.
Right, 100% does, but yet who ran more kind of trick plays or kind of goofy, you know, it was the Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wisconsin was way more innovative offensively or on special teams as well with the reverse there. It is remarkable that a guy that is as touting himself as forward-thinking as P.J. Fleck is as vanilla on offense as
that. A texter wants to know if we could upload the podcast for Smart Gardens.
That's a great question.
Yeah. We'll effort it.
Sure.
Can I just be really honest about something? And I'm not being snarky at all. I have no idea what Smart Gardens is.
It's one of the Saturday mornings.
Saturday shows? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it's popular. I'm not trying to be mean at all.
No, and it actually is, if you're a gardening lawn person, it's a great show. It's the folks from the U of M Extension come in. They've been doing great work for a long time.
We will pass it along to the people.
Yes.
I'll just once again compare the 2014 season. Adam Carter, you tell me which year is better in your opinion. As a media guy who hates Gopher sports.
Clearly.
They beat Michigan 30-14. That's at Michigan, by the way. They beat Nebraska 21st in the country, 28-24.
In Lincoln, right?
Correct. They decimate Iowa 51-24. They lose at Columbus to number 8 Columbus, 31-24, and they lose to the Badgers by, I think it was 11, I think, in the end.
They also lost in Champaign to the Fighting Illini.
Illini.
And they also lost to TCU earlier in the season, but that's when TCU was...
number 2 in the country.
Yes.
I've come around. 2014
some cupcake was, there, by the way.
2014 was a better game.
Well, the pushback is that 2014, they finished the year, 8-5?
Mm-hmm.
So... That's not next door to 10-2. I mean, that's a significant difference in overall record.
Yeah.
That'd be the only pushback. But whatever the difference is, it's not very much either way.
Yeah.
Just based on the quality of the wins that you had.
The quality of people out there. The text did respond. Says, I wish I was a brain surgeon. I'd be making more money. Excellent. Excellent comeback, even though we don't agree with your views on the analysis. Your humor is excellent.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.